Today, on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, we have an update on the TSA driver's license issue everyone has been having a fit about, and United Airlines is hit with a big fine for not taking proper care of its travelers.
Each year, Mark journeys to the Big Apple for the New York Times Travel Show. Now, some years, it's a live broadcast from New York. This year, we have in studio Mr. Mark Hoffman. Mr. Mark Hoffman, with a host of great interviews.
Starting about 320.
Now, I owe you a quarter.
Yeah. That's it. Starting about 3:20, we have everything from Antarctic expeditions to houseboating in Europe, from a translator you wear around your neck to a way to renew your passport without leaving your home.
Plus, adventures from National Geographic to news about special tours in Rome at the Vatican.
That's all in our special report from the New York Times Travel Show in our 3:20 and 3:35 segments.
Plus, Mark's tips on why hotel credit cards are truly a better bet than those issued by the airlines.
We have a great show for you today. Come along as we make you a smarter traveler. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Chickens out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone. It is the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman is his name. He's to my left. I'm Tom Romano. You know, at least I messed up on your name. Did you ever... You ever mess up on your own name? That's the one that really throws me.
Well, you've only known me for about 30 years, or longer than that.
But
so
sometimes I forget who I am.
Does Stephanie let you go out by yourself now without one of those little things around your neck or something?
No, not often. You know, sometimes I wake up in the morning and, you know, I'm having a difficult time remembering who I am. And so I'll go to the mail.
Uh-huh.
And then when I go check the mail, and there'll be something there, and it'll have a name on it, and I just assume that must be me. Sometimes I'm current resident.
Occupant, I was going to say.
Yeah, current occupant. Anyway, we got a great show. I had an opportunity to hear some of these, all of these interviews that we're playing today. And I want you to know, folks, you're in for a real treat. There's some very, very interesting stuff that Mark has brought back from the New York Times Travel Show. And if you go to travelguysradio.com, Mark actually has a little picture. Looks like the entryway into the event.
I took that with my phone. Yes.
This has got to be
they were standing there for 25 minutes waiting for the right person to come so they could cut the damn ribbon so we could get inside, which seems
That's
to
great.
Happen every year. It's funny because they're a newspaper, so you'd think they would have an understanding of
yes.
timeliness, you know, but that's just something that kind of escapes them. The New York Times Travel Show is the largest consumer and travel industry combined mm-hmm. show in the country. They have the most attendees, and they have all kinds of things going on. I mean, everything from seminars to food tastings to things for the kids, and they charge $16 to get in. So, I mean, it's not a free thing by any stretch of the
imagination. But that's nothing compared to the, you know, all the information and stuff that you're going to acquire. A couple of questions about it, and then we'll get into the travel news.
Okay.
Number one, how many days is this, and were you able to see everything you wanted to see in that length of time?
It's 3 days, and the New York show is really well done because on Friday, it's only for the travel industry. So the great thing about that is that
you and
the media. So mm-hmm. you can let people know in advance that you'd like to talk to them, and you can go by their booth, and it's not quite as much of a zoo as it is the next 2 days. And then on Saturday and Sunday, they're open to the public, and depending on what my schedule is, I was able to get out. Yesterday was on a plane yesterday morning at 5:15 in Newark. You do the math what 5:15 is in Sacramento time.
Boy.
And to get back home here for a meeting of the Rancho Cordova Historical Society, which is about to mark the Lincoln Highway through our fair city. So Nevada was at the New York Times Travel Show. I've never seen Nevada ever there. It's really interesting to see who shows up because a show on the East Coast is very different from a show on the West Coast. See if you can answer this. A show on the East Coast in New York will have a large section of people from what U.S. state to sell to people in New York?
Wow.
For travel.
Well, New York.
Well, but think, where do people in New York go when they retire? Florida.
Florida, yeah. Okay.
So there's a huge... two whole
contingency
aisles.
Of Floridas.
Anybody who's anybody from Florida is there. Whereas you go to a travel show on the West Coast, and you might see one or two booths from Florida, because why would Florida be over
here? They're all from Arizona.
Exactly, exactly. So the folks from Nevada were there. That was a lot of fun. We had a great conversation. I was like, wow, why did you guys come here? Well, it's like, you know, we wanted to come to the big time. And so it was fun to see them there. Lots of Florida. There really is something kind of for everybody at this travel show. It's in the Javits, which is the convention center. The convention center in New York is so large that there are four major shows going on at the same time. This show is over the top of a culinary show and a couple of other things, mm-hmm. but there are four full-size conventions going on in that building at the same exact time. So pretty fascinating place.
Well, okay, we're going to knock out the travel news, and then coming up at about 17 after, we'll get started making our way through the New York Times travel show with Mark. So fire up the music and bring on the travel news with Mark Hoffman.
All right, we've talked about this quite a bit, Tom, over the last few months. In fact, a sports leisure traveler got left in the Houston airport by a United wheelchair runner last spring. United Airlines has been fined $2.75 million for the mistreatment of passengers. This is one of the largest fines in history.
Wow.
It is a two-pronged fine. One of them is $750,000 of the fine is for a couple incidents where, you know, we have the tarmac rule now.
Right.
And maybe next week we'll go into that in more detail. But basically it says the airline has to let you off the plane within 3 hours. They can't just set you out there and let it snow all night long.
Right.
And United got caught twice, once in Houston, once in Chicago, where they didn't get people off. And so they were fined $750,000 for those two events. The other $2 million United has been fined because they apparently have not been able to, they have been damaging people's assistive devices. In other words, you give them a walker or a wheelchair and they check it and it comes to the other end and now it's not usable. Well, that's a little bit of a problem if you need that to get around. I mean, you know, not delivering the items at all. Delivering the wrong items. I mean, there's just this huge list.
Was yours on there? Abandoning.
Yes. And
abandonment.
It says leaving passengers and not getting them to their destination so they can catch their plane. So anyway,
there is some justice.
There is some people. You have to, if you write the Department of Transportation and you send complaints, then this is what happened: is that there got to be so many complaints that they went and said, you know what, we're going to look into this. And when they did, now the United is given some of this money. They can, the fine is a little bit of a soft fine because they will be able to take some of this money and use it towards improving programs to better serve those customers.
Now, is this a fine that constitutes 1 year of bad behavior?
Well, it constitutes 3 years of bad behavior.
Okay. Now, with that being said, let's, at the end of this year, let's take a look and see if there's any improvements.
Well, and let's be fair to the other, to United, is that they are not the first carrier to get a fine like this. So, but what it tells you as the traveling public is that someone is paying attention. So if you have an issue and you get to an airport and your grandmother, you know, gets dumped somewhere and doesn't make her plane, or you have a walker and it comes to you and it's mangled beyond recognition, that you can write a letter to a government agency and by God, something might happen, that somebody might actually be called on the carpet for that. And that's consistently what has happened here. Okay, another thing that involves kind of a government sort of thing. We've been talking about this story about how many states' driver's licenses don't comply with this new ID law that the feds have. In brief, they have pushed back the enforcement of the law until January 22nd, 2018. This was announced on Friday. And they have basically said that that's it. That's the last extension, period. They end on that date. 27 states have minor issues. California is one of those. So California has 2 years now to work that out. There are, interestingly enough, six states and territories that have passed laws saying that it's not legal to put that kind of information on a driver's license. Those people have an issue. So if you live in Illinois, Minnesota, Missouri, New Mexico, Washington, or American Samoa, you're non-compliant and your state has no intention of becoming compliant. So you may have some kind of problem at some point. But for the other states, including California, they have a 2-year extension to get this taken care of. And let's all hope that the people who are in charge of these things can make that happen.
There you go. In the meantime, travelers, relax.
Travelers, relax. Airlines boasted their base fares, $6 per round-trip ticket about a week ago, and it stuck, the first fare increase to stick in over a year. Let's see. Why did they say that they were raising prices? I'm sure that there was some, probably has to do with increasing fuel costs.
Or oh, yes.
Something
sure,
like that.
Of course.
Yeah. For those who believe that the black helicopters are circling and coming soon, here's an update that you'll won't want to miss. The IRS officially has gained the power to revoke or deny your passport. If you owe, I would have thought that this would have been something that would have been in the books a long time ago.
Right.
You owe the government a bunch of money, you can't leave town.
Right.
So, but Congress has officially enacted a law as part of the Transportation Act that passed a couple of weeks ago. They estimate that it will help the government collect $398 million over 10 years. So now, if you owe the government over $50,000 in unpaid taxes, you want to keep it right below that $50,000 level, because then you're flying under the radar.
Then you can leave.
$49,900 you can take off. But if it gets over $50,000, why then you're coming. What is it that the old ball player said about the All-Star game? If I ain't starting, I ain't departing, or something like that. Cirque du Soleil is coming to Broadway. It's been announced that a new Cirque du Soleil show will open on Broadway. Let's see, does this announcement tell me when it happens? April the 16th is the previews.
Okay.
May the 25th is when it opens. It's called Paramore. It's going to be on Broadway. And is it telling me here which theater that it's at? I should have probably read this before I got on the air. It is not saying. But anyway, Cirque du Soleil is coming to Broadway. Hilton Hotels has concluded their trial of the $50 cancellation fee. They did this at about 24 of their hotels. We talked about it here. They didn't charge their honors members. They didn't tell us what happened. They are just doing a little survey here. I will bet you a nickel to a donut that this becomes reality very soon. And another thing I will also bet you is that you will see a fee for car rental cancellations that are done at the last minute very soon. It has always marveled me that car rentals companies never know how many people are going to show up. And it's always a wide range for them. So it makes a lot of sense. If you charge a small fee, you might be able to get people to make a commitment.
I think so. You know, a lot of times I think what it is people will, they will price shop.
Yep.
And they will pick two or three.
Mm-hmm.
They'll decide on the one that they're going to use, but they won't bother to
cancel the others.
Call the others back to cancel.
Well, and what Hilton was hoping to do here is basically this was a $50 fee if you canceled any time after you made a reservation. So we'll see. I think that's a little restrictive, but I could see something where $50 charge within a week or something like that. Remember, it was only a year ago that the hotels backed off of. You used to be able to cancel until 4 or 6 o'clock on the day of arrival, and now you've got to cancel at least a day out unless you have some sort of emergency. And Sidecar is out of business, so it's just Uber and Lyft now. Sidecar is folded up shop last week, and we'll save this story till next week of how a 23-year-old whiz kid beat United Airlines. This guy did something. We talked about it on the air about 6 months ago. The airline sued him. One of the online travel agencies sued him. And we'll talk about how this all came out. I'm going to save this story for next week because it's a story with a good ending.
Very good. Well, have you ever wanted to go to Rome, but you wanted to make sure that when you got to the Vatican, you could like get in the back door? Or perhaps you've thought about taking a houseboat instead of an ocean cruise in a foreign country. That and much more coming up as we visit the New York Times Travel Show with Mark Hoffman here next on The Travel Guys.
Chewing on a piece of grass, walking down the road.
It's The Travel Guys every Sunday 3 to 4 on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Visit TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark?
Thomas, we're going to the New York Times Travel Show. We do this every year, and it's really a lot of fun. You know what? One of these years, I'm going to have to take you back there with me.
I would love to go. Because
it's really hard to work that show without an assistant, and I didn't have one this year. So
it's on my calendar.
It's a different thing.
All
right.
Now.
So we've got half a dozen great interviews for you here over the next half hour different kinds of things and places and stuff like that.
All right. Where do we start?
We're starting in Rome. This is called The Roman Guy. Tours and vacations in Italy, there's a lot of that at the New York Times Travel Show because there's a lot of Italians in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people that go to Italy from the New York region. So there are a lot of them there. These guys, though, have Italy tours with the wow factor. I mean, if you've and there's something special going on in Italy next year, and it gives you an extra reason really to need these folks, The Roman Guy.
Brandon, there's a special event coming up in Italy in 2016 that is going to attract a lot more tourists to the country, particularly to the Vatican. Tell us what that is.
So that would be the Jubilee. Okay, so historically, every 25 years, the Holy See, okay, the Vatican, will offer a year of pilgrimage.
Okay.
And so what you can also have is sometimes in between the 25 years, they can have a special Jubilee, which is what's happening in the year 2016.
It's an additional reason for people to come to the Vatican.
Yes, okay. Correct. So it's a whole year, a tire long of pilgrimage, which you can imagine brings a lot more people to the city, especially with the current Pope, who's extremely popular.
So you said something like three times as many.
Almost, predictions are almost up to three times as many people.
So, for those of you who don't know, if you go to Rome, it's a total zoo. I mean, if you think New York is a zoo, you have no idea. Rome is far beyond traffic, everything, and very difficult to get around in. So it's very important, if you're going to have a plan, or if you're going as part of a group, to be with somebody that knows what they're doing. Tell me, Brandon, what it is with the Roman guy that makes your tours special and different. And in particular, I've noticed that you have some behind-the-scenes type things and some things that you call the wow factor in your tour.
So some of the main things is when you go to Rome, and as you said, it is crazy. You want to be able to get inside and beat the crowds. That is the main goal, okay, of anyone who wants to really see the true things in the city. So you want to go to the Vatican, you want to see the Sistine Chapel before the crowds. We go in a full hour before the main crowds are even allowed inside of the museums. Okay, so which means you see the Sistine Chapel with 15 people inside of it. Almost the way the Pope sees it. Almost, not exactly, but almost the same thing.
That's pretty good.
And so also if you're going to the Colosseum, okay, the lines in the Colosseum this year can reach up to a kilometer, half a mile long, okay, to get inside. So we go through a separate entrance because we go to the underground area. Okay, we go to the underground, the arena floor where the gladiators used to fight, and the third level. So it's extremely exclusive and restricted to the regular public, and it's only our group inside.
Where the gladiators used to fight, you said?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And sometimes we dress people up as gladiators, make them fight each other.
It sounds like you have something here that people in where we are here in New York tend to call a hook.
Exactly.
You got to have a hook. To get the best thing, to get the best price, to get the best table, to get the best deal, you got to have a hook. It sounds like the Roman guy is the hook to go to Italy.
Yes, for sure.
This sounds very experiential. It sounds like you're creating something for people that's very different from what other people sell.
Yeah, and that's what we want to do because we don't want to be like everyone else. We want to get a special experience that you'll never forget. And so the main satisfaction for us is when someone at the end of a tour says, this is something I will never forget, and reach out to us many years later telling us how much fun they actually had.
Brandon Shaw from The Roman Guy. Go to travelguysradio.com and you'll see a listing to their website there, theromanguy.com.
Thank you very much.
Wow, The Roman Guy has a hook. I love his hook. I tell you, it just makes you want to go with him.
Well, they've got the ways, supposedly, to get you into places that you can't. I mean, it's not free, but, you know, that's what you want the hook.
And you say there's a lot of booths going to Rome.
There are a lot of, I'm guessing a lot of people from New York go to Italy from the number of folks who are there. All right, from Italy, let's go to National Geographic now. They have a brand new company called G Adventures that they're working with that is putting together adventure trips for them.
So, Danny, tell me about this new product that your company is putting together for National Geographic.
Sure. So, at G Adventures, we're thrilled to announce that we just launched a brand new travel style called National Geographic Journeys with G Adventures. And what that is it's small group adventure travel. So, it's a focus on cultural immersion and learning while traveling. So, making sure when you're traveling abroad to these different developing nations that you're getting a real insider look. And together with National Geographic, G Adventures has put together some incredibly culturally immersive travel experiences in 70 different countries around the world.
When you say small groups, define a small group.
Sure. So maximum size is 16 people per group, but on average we have somewhere between 10 and 12.
Tell me, give me an idea of some of the places that G Adventures is partnering with National Geographic to offer folks.
Sure. Great. So our most popular itinerary since launching 3 weeks ago is our Kruger National Park itinerary in South Africa. We also have an incredible trip called Machu Picchu Explorer that is also very popular. And then Southern India. Southern India is the third most popular itinerary. But we cover all seven continents, G Adventures. Now, we're not traveling to Antarctica with National Geographic, but we do cover pretty much the breadth of if you want to go somewhere, we have a trip.
And this is not a new company that's just been created to partner with National National Geographic. You're an existing company.
Yes, G Adventures has been around for 25 years, based in Toronto, and we have over 8 different travel styles, and this is our brand new travel style, but we operate over 700 different itineraries, everywhere from YOLO products for those 18-year-old backpackers to active trips for people like hiking, biking, rafting.
G Adventures, find a link to their website at travelguysradio.com. Danny, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
And so we go from adventure travel to a translator. If you want to go to a foreign country and you don't know the language, we have the answer for you right here.
Jeff, brand new product, not even on the market yet. A wearable translator. This sounds like, I'm standing here looking at the picture, it sounds like someone is speaking to me in Spanish, and immediately it's translating it and telling me what the English is, or vice versa. Is that basically the concept?
That's correct. So the way it works is that it doesn't require internet access, which means that if you're traveling overseas, where you can only get weak internet connection or no internet connection at all, you can still use it.
That's maybe the most fascinating part of this, is that it just runs off of a battery some type of a drive, obviously.
Well, it actually has an operating system inside, okay. So everything is processed internally.
Wow. And this is not a large device. I'm looking at a sample of it here. It's you know, it looks like a rather large pendant that you would wear around your neck. And is that where it's designed to be, is worn around the neck?
Exactly.
So explain to me how it works.
Okay, so there is a button in the middle that you can push and hold, and all you have to do is speak into it. And there's a speaker on the other side that will project the translated words.
So you talk in your language into it, and it spits out the interpreted language on the other side?
Yes, that's correct.
Wow, that is more than marginally phenomenal. Give me some idea of where this is going to be available and what is it going to cost.
Okay, so our first set, we're going to actually have 3 languages available.
Uh-huh.
English, Japanese, and Chinese. That will be available this year. We'll start accepting pre-orders in April, and we'll announce a price before then.
Okay.
So each unit will have a specific language pair assigned to it. So if you want English and Japanese, for example, then you would get that specific device.
Okay, excellent. So, and these are coming out, you say, in June?
Yes, we hope to do that.
So, Jeff, what we're going to do is we'll get back to you in the summer and find out after the product launches and find out how it's doing, what it costs, and where it's available and stuff like that.
Yeah, sounds great. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Have a great show. Thank you very much.
The Travel Guys on KFBK, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. We just finished up talking about the...
We abruptly finished
yeah,
up.
Yeah, we did. We had to get to the news. Sorry about that. We didn't even get a chance to tease.
We were running late, and Luis just said, you guys are out of here.
Yeah. You know, while we were at the break, my wife called. She heard the part about the translator.
Uh-huh.
For different countries, and wanted to know if maybe that they could make one where it would translate what I say so that she could understand it. So.
I assure you that would cost more than several hundred dollars if they come up with something like that. All right. We've just been kind of fooling around here for the last 5 minutes trying to figure out how to get the football game on the screen in the control room here. And meanwhile, Dina's trying to do the news while we're just fooling around and pushing every button and bringing all kinds of different stuff on here. But she does a very good job, you know. I mean, she's very professional and does everything, even though we were sitting here.
Well, at least there's one professional in the building.
In the building, absolutely.
And speaking of professionals, Mark, we know you're a professional traveler. You went to the New York Times travel show and did some really cool professional interviews, and we're bringing them to you here on the Travel Guys to make you a smarter traveler. Where do we travel to next?
Well, let's see. So far, we've gone to Rome, and mm-hmm. we've talked about National Geographic adventure travel, and we've talked about wearable translators. So this next one is one of our most popular stories last year was how at the Sacramento Library now you can get your passport.
Right.
You can go down and apply for it on a Saturday or a Sunday without an appointment and be able to get it fairly simply. Here is a company that is that will help you renew your passport.
So, David, explain to me the concept of the service that this new app is going to provide.
I'm very excited about it, Mark, because we've been expediting passports for people for about 35 to 40 years already, believe it or not. And I decided to approach a market to fulfill a need in a market where the people aren't traveling right away, that they don't need their passport within 2 weeks like I normally do. I decided to launch an app which allows people from their home to our office to answer a few questions, pay a fee, take the photo on the app, and instantly at that moment they will get documents emailed to them, a passport application, an air bill, a very secure air bill, which will be trackable, where they can mail me back their application, their passport, and that's it. I have everything else. I have their photo. They've already paid online.
This is not your first rodeo. You said you've been doing this for a long time, expediting passports and the like. So you folks have another branch to your existing branch to your company you already work with in passports.
Yes, exactly right. We are nationwide. We have a great website. It's easy.com. And it's been catering to a clientele, again, that travels, corporate, executive, or people who forget and are traveling tomorrow. And we fulfill that need. So we've been doing that for 35 to 40 years.
So this new app is coming out soon, and this will basically allow people to sit in the comfort of their home and renew their passport application.
That's correct, because truthfully, it's so easy. They don't have to run around for a photo. They don't have to drive around worrying about shipping it. They don't have to do anything. They can do everything safely from their home, and it's always secure. I give them a trackable air bill. Most people who renew passports on their own usually try to find a couple of 49-cent stamps or whatever it was at the time, and they put it on an envelope, and then they wonder why it didn't get there, or they wonder why it was lost, and then they have bigger problems. They can certainly get another passport, but then the procedure is much more difficult.
The key here is that by paying you $29, I'm understanding, is the fee, people can basically eliminate. You're going to make sure that their application is proper, that their photos are proper, that everything is the way it's supposed to be.
Yes.
So if there's any issues, you're going to intercept those, and that's part of the value in what is, frankly, a very modest fee.
Yes, it is. And if you think about it, the air bill that they would be able, they'd have to buy to ship it correctly, minimum is $5.75. They get that from me. The photos are included. So if they had to go buy photos, $10, $15 at the post office, the photos are included. So when you add all that up, I'm charging next to nothing to scrutinize their application, to make sure it's perfect, and almost to guarantee everything as well.
And I'm guessing one of the reasons you can do this at a fairly reasonable fee is because you're already in the passport business. This isn't somebody who had a vision or a dream and created something in hopes that it works. You already know this business, so I think that's a very big point to folks to emphasize, is that you're not just, these are people who are, you're passport professionals in essence.
Yes. I'm authorized and approved by the Department of State. You know, to some degree they say jump, I say how high. You don't fool around with the Department of State. They know me well, and I do only quality work. I check everybody's application perfectly. Sometimes something I miss something, or that maybe the agency doesn't approve, but instantly I get a letter and I fix it. Photos, whatever happens, I'm responsible. So if someone hypothetically got a rejection for photos or an application that I submitted, I would fix it for them. I would make sure that it goes through. I know how to do it all.
David Alwadish with It's Easy Passport and Visa Services, thank you for your time.
It's a pleasure, Mark.
With the travel guys, the only thing about this, then David and his passport thing, that scares me a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But then again, I'm the generation who is very, very, frightened to do like online banking and certainly online phone banking, which I do. But, passport and some, David's got all my information. He's going to fix it for me.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of a New York accent, too. He knows everything he knows. He knows he's going to fix it for you. About it.
that's exactly
but that's
what's
pretty
gonna
cool.
happen.
Listen, and he told me something really interesting that I didn't know before. You know, we went to special places to get passport photos done because they had to be just right. Well, they have to be not a black wall, but a blank wall. And there can't be any shadowing on your face or behind you or anything like that. So it's not necessarily the camera as much as it is the setting. Mm-hmm. You can take passport photos from your home on your phone. But you've just got to make sure that there's no, like your head doesn't show on the wall behind you, or there's not, your face isn't in shadow, or it's got to be a pure picture. So hypothetically, you can take your own passport photos, go online to itseasy.com, do all the paperwork, send it to this. He sends you a FedEx, I mean, a UPS. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and for what he's charging for it, it seems, I'm with you. It does seem a little, you know, but in New York, things are different. You know, things are different. All right, moving on. Let's take you to another continent, a continent that most people will never visit in their entire life. I went and stood in front of this booth, and I thought to myself, this is going to be really, really different.
Leslie, it doesn't look to me like that your packages are something that every single person who's listening to this radio program is going to want. Let me help paint a little picture here. I'm standing here looking at your booth, and you have these things that look like sort of like tents out on the snow. It looks like it's definitely Antarctica, and it doesn't look like the Grand Hyatt or the Sheraton or any of the places that I'm used to staying in. But this is kind of a special adventure, and it's not for everyone. So tell me about these Antarctic expeditions.
Definitely. It is absolutely a unique experience. It's not for everyone, not for the faint of heart. You are going to Antarctica during their summer season, though, so temperatures are at a high. We usually
get... Wait. What would be at a high?
In our main camp at Union Glacier, we're used to 10 to 15 degrees, so it's pretty comfortable. It's below freezing.
First of all, how do you get there?
Everyone starts with us in Punta Arenas, Chile, and they fly on a Russian cargo plane called an Aleutian 76. We can take up to 60 passengers, and we usually do about 10 to 12 passenger flights during a season. And they fly from Punta Arenas, Chile, to our main camp and runway on Union Glacier.
Wow. And how long are the expeditions?
Most people stay on the continent 7 to 14 days with us.
Give me some idea of what an expedition costs.
Our most affordable experience is right around $25,000 US.
And that's for, and what length of time?
That's for a week-long stay at our main camp at Union Glacier.
And I'm guessing that includes everything once you arrive in Chile.
Once you get on the plane with us to go to Antarctica, everything is included. Really, the only thing people have to bring cash for are satellite phone calls home.
And I'm guessing you need to be in reasonably decent physical shape for this. Paint me a picture of the type of person who takes one of your expeditions.
Yeah, our average traveler is usually in their mid-40s to mid-50s. We do a medical review of each guest just to make sure everyone is fully equipped to enjoy the experience that they choose. But just anyone in general, good health and fitness can go. I'd say the most physically enduring experience is to go to the South Pole, just because the South Pole's at an elevation of 11,000 feet. So people do sometimes have issues with the altitude and the cold temperatures there.
I think it is really, truly amazing. So how many people do you take over the course of a season?
We usually have between 400 and 500 passengers in a season.
Wow. And you mentioned to me before we started the interview that this is not your first summer in Antarctica.
Correct. We have been operating in Antarctica continuously since 1987.
Leslie Wicks is with Antarctic Logistics and Expeditions. Go to travelguysradio.com. You'll see a link to their website there. Leslie, have a wonderful show.
Thank you so much. You too.
Well, all I can tell you is that this sounds like an Indiana Jones trip.
Doesn't it?
You go to Chile and then...
get an old Russian airplane, you know, and then fly to Antarctica.
Boy, I tell you, jump out with a floatable boat and...
Yeah, but you guys were doing the math. 400 to 500 people at $25,000 a year, that's a $10 to $12 million company.
Boy,
so
I'll
we're
tell
not
you.
Talking ice cubes here.
Then you have to pay for the satellite phone. But that, I'll tell you, if you are an adventurer, this definitely sounds like an out there kind of trip. Yeah, I think you should send your buddy Clayton. This sounds like something he would go for.
You think so?
Didn't he do the walk across? Half
the walk
world
across
or
Spain, yeah. Chris Galloway might do something like this.
True.
Lay out on a piece of ice in 10-degree weather or something like that. All right, one more here at the New York Times Travel Show, and then we'll leave this one alone for another year. This, I thought, was the most the most interesting idea in the building from a travel standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
The guy, by the way, the guy with the 17-day underwear was not back this year, so that may have bombed. but the pickpocket-proof pants guy was still there. So
okay.
That we remember we had him on last year. So anyway, this is, you can go down to Lake Powell, you know, in Arizona, and you can rent a houseboat. You go out on Lake Powell for a week or something like that. It's a lot more arduous than you might think, but nonetheless. In Europe now, there is a company where you can rent basically a houseboat and go out on European rivers. I mean, it's the most amazing thing.
Shannon, I think this is one of the most interesting products in the building. There's a lot of things in this building and a lot of creative ideas. This is basically houseboating on European rivers, is that right?
That is correct. Most people in this country and in Canada really look at river cruising as the large barges with 20-plus people.
Absolutely.
What we do is we have small boats, which are for two people, up to at the most 12 people. But what's great about it is you drive the boat yourself. You get to choose your itinerary. You get to choose whatever you want to do. So it's the most unique way to see Europe. And you're not on the same large rivers. You're on the more small historic rivers. You go through wineries, small towns, historic villages. So you see a part of Europe that most people, when they travel to Europe, do not see.
Do you assist people in putting together their itineraries, or do you just provide the boat?
No, we do have suggested itineraries. And stops, and what we do is we provide cruising guides on the boats that let them know when local markets are open, when
how cool is that?
Yeah, so I mean, there's always something for them to do. You know, but again, we give those suggestions, but it's up to the individual. If they see a place they love, they can stay there for a couple of days and then just go from one base to the next.
Give me some idea of what does this cost?
Okay, well, this is what's so amazing about it. We have boats, our small boats, for two people up to our large boats for 12 people. Our cruising season is from April through October. So low season, a small boat can cost around $1,500 U.S. dollars. And a large boat can be up to $8,000 a week. And again, that's per boat. It's not per person.
Wow. So this is not only is a different way to travel, but it might also be a more economical way to travel.
It is definitely a more economical way. It's sort of, you could look at it as a floating hotel room. And most of the times, our boats would be cheaper than a hotel room you would stay in Europe.
Well, and plus, I'm guessing smaller boats, so you don't have the issues that the other boats have had in terms of water and how much water they draw and things of that sort.
No, we do not have any of those issues whatsoever.
For the river season in Europe, how long does that last?
Again, for us, for what we do, self-drive, it's the beginning of beginning of April through the end of October.
Okay. And how long has Le Boat been in business?
Le Boat's been in business for over 40 years.
Wow.
And we have over 800 boats in our fleet.
Good Lord. And where are most of your boats headquartered? I mean, do you have a headquarters city, or are they just spread all over Europe?
We're in 8 different countries in Europe. France is our number one destination. And then we're also in England, Ireland, Scotland, Belgium, Holland, Italy, and Germany.
Shannon Brennan of Le Boat. Go to travelguysradio.com and you can see a link to their website there. Shannon, have a great show.
I have a visual. I have a visual with Mark and his travelers from Sports Leisure Vacations,
mm-hmm.
and going to Europe. And you break up into groups of 10.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of the 10 gets a boat.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys do Le Boat. For a week.
You think?
Yeah.
I rented a houseboat with a friend on Lake Powell back many years ago.
Yeah.
And Scott and I went out there with the idea that we were going to sell this to Sports Leisure Travelers. This would be a great adventure for
okay.
six or seven people in a houseboat. And the two of us almost killed ourselves over a period of about 6 days docking and undocking that boat and different things. And the houseboat
yeah.
idea went
yeah.
away quietly, very quickly after that.
There so. You go. It's not as easy as it looked. This is, you know, we've talked a lot about river cruises.
Uh-huh.
versus cruising the ocean. And I guess if you really like those and you're a little more adventuresome, this for the family, maybe a group of a dozen.
If you were an experienced traveler in Europe
yeah.
and you kind of knew your way around a little bit
yeah.
and you had these people to help you, it just seems like the next most obvious idea. When I saw it, I was like, Wow, why didn't I think of that? So anyway, our annual trip around the New York Times Travel Show.
Go to travelguysradio.com. Details about all the different stuff that we've just been talking about from the New York Times Travel Show you'll find there. And if you really liked the interviews and you want to hear them again in about 3 or 4 days, we'll have the entire radio show posted for you to enjoy a second time around. Where are we headed, Mark?
We are going to talk about credit cards, hotel versus airline credit cards. Really, the airline credit cards are pretty much losing their value, except they get you on the plane earlier and you get a free suitcase, and that's about it. We'll talk about that right after the break. We are the Travel Guy.
Travel Guys, so much to do, so little time here on KFBK. Mark,
congratulations to Judy Wood, who last week, her name was called on the radio. She won a $200 travel card from Sports Leisure Vacations. That means jackpot goes back down to $100. Our winner this week is Tony Foster, who went with us on the Rose Parade trip a couple weeks ago. Tony, if you call the Sports Leisure Vacations office Monday or Tuesday, you can claim a $100 travel card. If Tony doesn't call next week, the jackpot will go to $200. See, other people can talk fast too, Romano.
There you go. And if you want to enter the contest and you're not traveling with Sports Leisure Travel in the near future,
you go to travelguysradio.com. You just pick up the comment thing and you put entry in the subject line and you're in.
What else you got?
What else have I got here? Credit cards. We were going to talk about credit cards. Listen, if you're thinking about getting a credit card and you're thinking, I'm going to pile up the miles, I'm going to pile up the points, I'm going to pile up something, think twice about an airline card. Really and truly, if you're going to do something for travel, do a hotel card, like a Holiday Inn maybe, or Marriott would be ones I would suggest. They have a wide variety of products available. Starwood is one I would also suggest. They're about to merge with Marriott, mm-hmm. so that will become one and the same. But some of the downsides with some of these airline credit cards, if you don't buy the ticket from their webpage, sometimes you don't get the free bag and the priority boarding. So you got to be careful there, because that's another lady applies for an American Express card. It's supposed to come with 25,000 free miles, but wait a minute, she already had another American Express card. It's only good if you don't have an American Express card. So she got the card, she didn't get the miles, she canceled the card, obviously, but that's another thing to look out for. Free companion tickets, where they tell you buy one, you get one free, mm-hmm. except that comes with all kinds of restrictions where you have to buy a full fare coach ticket. And in order to get the free ticket, ultimately, at the end of the day, it would have been cheaper to just buy two inexpensive tickets. You're on an airplane and the flight attendants are saying, well, you sign up today, you'll get a 50,000 mile bonus. Well, except that in the 50,000 miles will buy this. Well, only under certain circumstances will it buy that. So be careful what they promise you there, because a lot of this stuff and a lot of the times you can't change on those companion tickets. They're very much restricted. So be really careful, because a lot of the perks that they promise you with airline credit cards are just not it's pie in the sky, literally pie in the sky. And unless you want to get on the airplane first, you're not going to get upgraded because you have their credit card. So it's not going to help you. Get a hotel credit card instead.
I swore that was an airline out there, but it was just another pie in the sky. We are the Travel Guys, and that about wraps it up for this week. We'll be back next week, same time, same station. In the meantime, you have a wonderful week. Be listening to KFBK for Mark's travel tip of the week.
Dina is next with the news.